I don't know whether you know that song that we finished off with, Come On and Celebrate, was actually written during the late 80s, just a little way away from here in Malmesbury, where NGM were based. Trish Morgan, one of the writers, is actually out church planting in Greece these days with her husband Malcolm. So it still goes on, it still moves on. So when you're sat down, I have a question for you to talk to somebody else about as we're coming up to asking Alan to start talking to us. What have you spent most of your time doing this week, guys? What have you spent most of your time doing? Yeah? Okay. Got some idea? How about this? What we spend most of our time doing is what we worship. Yeah? What you've spent most of your time doing is what you worship. You might say, that is not true for me, but it can be. It really can. Now, this is week number 3 of 5 on worshiping all of our lives. Alan is speaking to us this morning, and we're looking forward to hearing from him because I know for sure that he's really been investing in preparing for today, like all our speakers do. So let's pray for him and let's pray for us. Father God, we're here today because by the power of your Spirit, we want to follow your Son more closely in more areas of our lives. Lord, we want the words we say, the tunes we sing, the things we do to ever, always, only be to your glory. Lord, I pray that as Alan speaks to us, he'll find a remarkable sharpness. We pray as well that your word will find its way to our hearts so that at the end of the day, your Son, who deserves it most of all, gets all the glory. Amen.
Go. Amen. Okay. Okay, you're getting a signal? Yeah. Technology, huh? We all have to, I won't say worship it, bow down to it, but sometimes we're quite dependent on it. Welcome, anyway, for those of you who haven't been here before, for those of you who have never seen me in your life before, or many of the people in this church, it's great to see you. One of the wonderful things about the Christian family is the fact that it is a family and that we can welcome people, you know, from abroad, and maybe we've never seen them before, but we know those core values that God gives us, that are in our hearts. We've been talking the last few weeks about worship on and off. Obviously, there have been other things happening. Just a couple of weeks ago, Steve was talking about a different aspect of it from one of the prayers in Ephesians, which was really good. Again, I thank him for that. I've been given this particular topic to talk about, and for me it's a favorite topic. My wife and I, for many years, Jana right back there, have been leading, or she's been leading, I should say. I'm no good at leading, but she's been leading worship. I've been sort of helping her musically, and it's something that's in our hearts. You know, it's something that we love. But what we're going to talk about today is it really just the singing? Is it really just about knowing those words, having that time on a Sunday, or even listening in the car to a tape, shows how old I am, CD or whatever. So what is Christian worship? Hopefully you can see this all right. So typically, you know, we get these kind of images, right? This is Hillsong, you know, classic image of thousands of people, maybe even just a few people, just in this amazing sort of reverence and having a wonderful time. I did manage to get, not actually to Hillsong itself, but when I was in Australia a few years ago on a business trip, that was my key, my personal take was, okay, they've sent me to Australia, they're paying for my tickets, I'm going to go and get to see Hillsong. I am going to. Unfortunately, I didn't because they cancelled the service that day. But I got to one of the local seminars or local youth groups that was a Hillsong youth group. And they had an amazing time of worship like that, but about a tenth of the size. I still could sense, you know, all of the passion there and so on. It was an amazing time. But is this these days all that worship really is, right? Is it just this massive, amazing display of music and amazing arrangements and amazing lyrics? So thinking about more of a secular definition of worship, right? So what does the world think of as worship? Because if you type worship into Google and you look at the images that come up, it's all of those kind of Hillsong events, right? All of that kind of thing. Looking at the secular definition, yes, we've got to honor or respect someone or something as a god, to show respect and love for God, or for a god, especially by praying, having religious services, etc. So this is the secular, this is what people understand as worship. I'm interested in the last one here. To love or to honor someone or something very much or too much. I like that, too much. So just for a moment, going down that sort of path. This is my son. He's not here, he can't be embarrassed. And although it doesn't come up very well here, the fact that he looks in absolute heaven is because a little kitten that we got recently is now nestled on his lap, and he can't imagine anything more wonderful at that particular moment. The reason I show this is that there was this interesting quote from Terry Pratchett: in ancient times, cats were worshipped as gods. They have not forgotten this, all right? There's, you know, a lot of different forms of worship you could think about these days. A lot of it is just the fact that, you, like Dave said, you're spending a lot of your time, a lot of your focus, a lot of your interest, a lot of your resources on a particular subject that for you is massively important. So that brings me to the first discussion point. You might not be used to this in this church. We tend to have quite interactive discussions and times when we're speaking. So just if you're talking to someone next to you, hopefully it's someone that you can talk to, three things or people apart from God that you love or honor very much or too much. Okay? Outside God, right? Jesus, you can't mention Jesus here, okay? We're going to talk about Jesus very soon. This is talking about other things in your lives. So I am interested just to hear a few examples, all right? I'm not going to interrogate anyone. This could be the opportunity to embarrass someone, so I'm not. Just maybe something you heard, right? Okay. Any examples of things or people that someone perhaps loves or honors very much or too much?
Your health.
Your health, right. Absolutely, yeah. People can be thinking about that so much all the time. Anyone else?
Tea shops.
Tea shops?
Yeah, I love tea shops.
Right, okay. All right, you put the eye there. So. Okay. Anything else?
Mobile phone.
Mobile phone, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Anything else? Kids, yeah, absolutely right. Okay. The very much or too much, that's the question there always, isn't it? It's the balance. Anything else? One last one.
Brazilian football team.
Interesting. You mentioned that. Okay. If you happen to look up on Google, and I have it, you know, so I should really bring that up here. So, you know, you come up with a sort of thesaurus, which is what I did. I'm just interested to see other names for worship. You get all of these worship sort of related or similar terms coming up. And I did go through them all. And of course, many of them are very religious. Because what I do is I go through and I look at the images, right? What are the most popular images on Google for that? And a lot of them are very, very specific, very religious, genre or domain. But one which was quite interesting was that adoration. So just looking at that one here. So here's, or adoration, sorry, adulation. What I meant. So when you look at the images on that, yes, you get all sorts of examples. You're wonderful, I know, and that kind of thing coming up. But you know, these are the kind of images you get, and they are a lot more, I would say, a lot closer to what we see generally in society. This kind of adulation, maybe a famous cyclist here is saying, I get too much adulation and stuff like that. Or, you know, other very well-known stars, either loving it or eventually possibly hating it. But it's a factor, a major part of so many people's lives, one way or the other. So thinking about that, as a modern style, a day style of worship, for example. There's this guy who I found online called Giles Pellerin, who is apparently the original reason, or the original definition of a super fan. Okay, so a fanatical, a fan who's really, really focused on one particular thing in their lives. That's the biggest thing for them. In his case, it was college football, so American college football. And between 1906 and 1998, he attended 797 consecutive games for this one club, 797. And in actual fact, he died in 1998 in the middle of a game, right? He said to his brother that he fell ill, and he left the game halfway through and had a heart attack, and that was it. Okay, pretty sad, but you can see how much he was focused on that, you know. And so the idea of the super fan is not actually so strange in modern society, especially with modern information and social media and stuff. You can get so much information about your particular or the object of your desires. Just focus in on that entirely and spend all of your money trying to chase that. But let's take this at this point a little bit further and think about a Jesus superfan, right? So what would maybe a Jesus superfan look like? So they're going to know as much as they can about the object of their desire. Okay, know about Jesus as much as possible. Obviously, that can be the Bible, but it could also be they're reading books, they're talking to people, they're just finding out because they desperately want to know as much as possible. They don't hide their love for him, okay? That's something I'm guilty of sometimes, especially when I'm going and giving training and stuff and going to different groups of people. You know, if a discussion comes up about maybe religion or Jesus or something like that, I won't necessarily say anything, okay? that's, you know, something that I'm working on, because I actually do want people to know that I am a fan, if you like, of Jesus. He is important to me. Wears his clothes. Okay, puts on various different characteristics of Jesus. Actually tries to follow his example in their lives. And we'll see the passages in a moment as we look at the Bible. And actively works to see others become fans too. So, yes, so we could take this idea of, you know, a super fan, and we could try and become this Jesus super fan ourselves. And that would be all, you know, quite understandable. And it's probably, again, you know, what the world would expect. But it goes a lot deeper than that. Okay? This is just, again, taking a world example and saying, oh, I can become a Jesus super fan. But let's actually begin to look at how God sees this. So, I don't know if you can see this. You're welcome. I've got papers here. You're welcome just to pass those back and out. If anyone can't see it so well. All right, that'd be great. So these sheets just have a printout of the verses on, just if it's hard to see it up here. But Colossians 3, 12 to 17, is talking about the character of the new man. It starts with therefore, and therefore we should look at the few verses before that talks about the fact that we've become a new creation, that we shouldn't lie. And in that context, if we read it, therefore is the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, the interesting thing about, I mean, to many of us, this is quite a familiar passage that we've maybe read through. It's easy to read through it very quick. One of the interesting things about this to me is, if you look at specific terms here about putting on or about letting something rule in your hearts or doing all, okay, it becomes clear that in the majority of cases, it's not something that's automatic, okay? We've become Christians. We've, you know, got that. We've been totally rebuilt, if you like, spiritually. We're a totally new creation. But because of our minds that still have that imprint of how we think and how we live, we need to deliberately make decisions on how we're going to act in our lives. So it says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. It says, put on love above all these things. You know, love is in our hearts, but it's not automatic that we love people. Okay? Then it talks about, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It means it's probably going to dwell in you richly, right? Unless you stop it. Unless you fill your mind up with other things. If you're a super fan, if you're really focused on allowing the word of Christ to dwell in you, then it will. And it will begin, because it's a living thing, it will begin to make a difference, to change your lives, change your way, the way that you think. And then do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So do and put on and let. There's clearly action that needs to take place here. So, second and last discussion, just quickly. Are you a super fan of anything? And it could be Jesus. I'm allowing you to say that this time. Or do you know someone who is? And how could you become a more effective Jesus superfan? We saw those scriptures just now about putting on and so on, but how does that actually work specifically for you? Is there something that you see that would be, you know, that maybe you or maybe someone could actually do, put on, allow something, the life of God in you to work more? So 5 minutes just to discuss that. First of all, you know, are you a super fan? Is there something that you love to follow? And secondly, how could you become more effective specifically as a Jesus super fan? Okay, so we've looked at the sort of the secular definition of worship briefly. We've looked at, you know, some examples of modern day worship. We've looked at the idea of a super fan. But how does this play out practically? Okay, and in this last part, last 10 minutes or so, I'm just going to talk about more practical examples of living worship as a lifestyle. So we are these new people in Christ, and we do actually have a lot to be grateful for. Okay, it's one of the things that we should watch out for is when we cease being grateful, when the problems and the concerns in our lives actually take precedence or seem more important than the things that are actually good, than the things that where God's provided for us, when we've been blessed in some way, the people around us. We have so much to be grateful for at so many different levels. And above all, you know, because of God, we actually have a future. We have a hope. So expressing worship through our lives and not just as song, it actually changes us. And it also affects other people. Okay, so worship isn't just the idea of knowing some words and being able to sing to the chorus. It's actually living that truth and being a super fan in the sense of expressing our lives as a way of worshiping Jesus Christ. It's not automatic, as I've mentioned. There are conscious decisions that you have to make. You're not going to automatically become a super fan or automatically be able to just click with God, know God's will, know which way you should go in every important decision. But here are some examples of worshiping as a lifestyle. And it's actually based on one of my favorite passages of scripture, Proverbs 3. And, you know, looking at this as I was studying for this, I began to realize that this is really explaining what worship as a lifestyle is. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and there's multiple passages here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So what does that mean? Well, the worship side would be trust God in every situation, despite what your mind and the world says. Some crazy world leaders start talking about the fact that they're going to blow each other up and destroy the entire world in the end just because they can and just because they're annoyed at each other. Trust God, right? Don't lean on your understanding. Trust God. He still has a plan here. He still has things that he wants to happen. I'm trusting him in that situation, not what I read just on the news sites. Proverbs 3, 7 to 8. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. The worship here, the worship lifestyle, yes, You know what to do, but check with God first anyway. Sometimes we do the same things. We know the pattern. We know how we should do this. We've done it so many times before. That's the solution to this problem. But maybe this time it's different, and we're actually putting God's opinion first. Maybe he has a whole different way of approaching this particular situation, because he knows what's in the future. He knows you need to be prepared in a different way. He knows you need to go in a different direction. Avoid things that God hates. We know in our hearts when we do something that God doesn't like. So to be able to turn and leave that and avoid doing that is a way of worshiping God as well. 9 and 10 in Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So the worship side, see your earthly stuff and money as God's. He's given it to you, right? All the stuff I have in my life, he's given me. Okay, I can't say, well, because of my knowledge in cloud computing, I've therefore, deserve everything that I've got here. He's given me the knowledge. He's given me the ability to learn. He's given me the ability to teach. He's given me the job that I have. He's given me a wonderful family. He's given me so much. I can't just say that's mine. I need to be able to open up and say, Lord, this is yours, and I just want to be a good steward of that. Love him by sharing with others wisely. I learned a lot from a pastor years ago, from my previous pastor when we were living in Prague, who used to be amazingly generous with his money. He used to bless people. Anyone would come to him and say, oh, I need money, homeless people and so on. And he would give, but he wouldn't give continually. He would give the first time, and he would see what they did with it, And then if they just entirely wasted it, he would talk to them. And he would want to see some change before he was actually going to give again. We need to be wise as well, and not just throwing away everything that God gives us, automatically saying, that's what we're supposed to do. And then finally, 9 to 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. This is the toughest, right, of those four, in the point of view that we are wrong sometimes, and we have to be humble to admit that we're wrong. We have to be prepared to say, God, you're right, I was wrong. 180 degree turn, repent, and return to his way. So these passages, these four parts of Proverbs 3, these verses together, I think really explain a worship lifestyle. There's so many different points of it. It didn't say anything specifically about singing there, right? But singing is surely an outward result of what's happening inside. You want to sing, you want to thank God because he's leading you, because he loves you so much that he's prepared to correct you. He is providing everything that you need. Helping you, keeping you, basically, keeping you safe, teaching you to be wise in this life, and directing your paths. So at this point, I just want to finish. Okay, that's all I have to say at this point. The main focus is, yes, it's great to be a super fan, all right, to embrace God in every way, to that he is the greatest part of our lifestyle, and that's really good. But we also need to be working through this as a way of loving him. Worship as a lifestyle, in all that we do, in all that we think, we're actually giving him the glory and saying, Lord, lead me, instruct me.
In a moment or two, I'm going to give you a chance to respond if you feel that God's spoken to you this morning, because I'm pretty certain that there was something rather special there. This is the way we do things in Dayspring. We're dialed down. We don't go to build it up. But sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks, and when the Holy Spirit speaks, we make a response. Let's pray. Okay, so we're before the Lord at the moment. I just want to bring you to bring something to mind. It's this. If you're like us, in our house, we spend quite a lot of time on branded and buying branded merchandise. Our daughter, who's 13, WhatsApped Wendy and said, thank you for my Zoella and Joe merchandise. When she puts it on, she feels good. We have requests every year for Sale Sharks rugby shirts. We have requests for Manchester City identity. We have requests for the England rugby team. Have you ever thought of the possibility that if you take hold of Jesus' merchandise, and I haven't, this was new to me this morning, like compassion and long-suffering, and put it on, it will enhance your image, because you want to be in the image of the one who loved you and gave himself for you. I've already decided that what I want to do this week is to think about it, reflect on it. The Bible, old-fashioned words, would talk about waiting on it. And if that has resonated with you this morning and you've thought, yeah, I want to be a Jesus superfan, I want to wear his merchandise, I want to continually be putting on stuff which, when people look at it, will connect me with him, I'd like to pray for you. And in order to pray for you, I'd like you to stand if that's something that God spoke to you about. If he hasn't, don't worry about it. I'll just feel embarrassed, but it won't be the first time and it won't be the last. But if God has spoken to you this morning about being a super fan, putting on something new that gives improves the image because it speaks of Jesus, then would you stand and I'll pray with you. Father, I pray for those guys who are standing. Pray for myself as well. Lord, that you'll teach us what it is like to be aware of putting on what we need to put on. And Father, I pray that there will be conscious choices this week to put on compassion and long-suffering, the things that make us look a bit like Jesus. For your glory, for the honor of your Son, in a way that creates freedom for your Spirit to move. Amen. That's it, guys. Thanks for coming and visiting us. See you next week.